Blog Talk Radio.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
About the Lord this evening. I'm just so grateful. Hallelujah. And we just need to praise him, you know, to praise him through the pandemic, praise him that it hasn't touched us. We need to praise him, glory be to God, for everything. Hallelujah. When you wake up in the morning, thank him. Lord, I thank you, hallelujah, for ordering my thoughts. And I thank you for ordering my steps. I thank you for directing my pathways, because he's the one that we want to be our God. The Holy Spirit, oh, glory to God. He's our leader. He's our God. Oh, he's everything that we need. And what's so important, we don't have to call him up. We don't have to go find him. We don't have to worry about him being busy with somebody else. Hallelujah, because we carry him on the inside of us. Isn't that awesome? He is so awesome, so omnipresent. Glory be to God. So, oh, God, hallelujah. The word of God tells us that he's the dunamis. He's the power in the Trinity. Oh, glory to God. But I thank him. And today, God has placed in my heart and in my spirit that in all that we're going to face, we have faith, because in order to have the Holy Spirit to be saved, we had to have faith. And he said he gave us faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Oh, hallelujah. I just can't tell you how happy I am with the Lord. How good he is. Hallelujah. And I thank him. Praise God. He moves so fast for us sometimes. I said a prayer in my heart. I didn't even tell Pastor what I was praying, but God heard that prayer, and he answered it by blessing her with the prayer that I was leading up before him. He is never too busy. He just wants us to serve him, release our faith, to come before him through his word and with his word, so that his heart will be touched, and he will give us the desires of our heart. He said so. He said, if you seek me first, if you seek his righteousness, if we do it first, hallelujah, then we can have what we say. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, hallelujah. That means that we are the branches of the tree. Hallelujah. The vine is Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. But God, He's the landscaper. He keeps it all. Glory be to God. I'm just so happy tonight. I'm happy that we're on this block. And I'm happy that for our first time operating, that it came out all right. Not that I doubted it, but it fills me to overflowing with how much I love it. So with what is coming on our earth, and it's going to be a lot, but God wants us to strengthen our faith. He wants us to stand firm in Him, to not to lean to the left or to the right, but He wants us to be firm, steadfast. He didn't let me know that He was just behind the cloud. He said, surveying the land, surveying His people, those that are backslid from Him, and those that play with Him, those that never really belong to Him, and those of us that think we know Him. That was His word. Get to know Him better. You see, Lucifer, or Satan, he's getting everything ready. Hallelujah. But the rapture must come first. And it shall, but will we be ready? It's going to take all our faith to stand in the days, the years to come. In Romans 10:17, we're talking about now how faith comes. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Hebrews 11:6, he says, but without faith, this is Paul talking to us, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But let's look at part in Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith. So if God demands that we have faith when it is impossible for us to have faith, then we have a right to challenge His justice. But if He places faith, hallelujah, within our hands, this means that faith can be produced within us. Then the responsibility of our having faith, walking by faith, walking in faith, rests with us. Whether or not we have faith, that still rests upon us. It said up in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. So God has told us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. But He's also told us how to get faith. So if we don't have faith, God is not to blame. To blame God for our lack of faith is nothing in the world but ignorance. And what does Hosea say? He says that God's people fail for lack of knowledge. All through Proverbs, it tells us to seek for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. All through the Bible, God tells us this. So if you don't have it, it's because you don't ask for it. I had a wonderful man of God, two of them, came to the center when I had the children's center. And they asked me, Rose, what do you want? And I hesitated. And he said, look, you have not because you asked not. Now, what do you want? I said, I want a bus for the center. And I want a computer for my record. I got it. Even though he passed, that next month, I believe, down on his knees, praying to God. But he already told his wife what he wanted her to do for me, for the center. God wanted her to be my friend. And God wanted her to help support the center. And the other gentleman became my chairman of the board. He became my business person. He could do the things that I didn't know how to do. But when God told me to open that center, it was by faith because I didn't have the money. I didn't have a place. I needed to go back to my church in Detroit. But God said, do this first. Everything I touched, God was in it because he was building up my faith. Even greater. Hallelujah. Things come to really test your faith. I know, been down that road, and hope I don't have to go through it again. But everything, every day will bring something, but we need to know how to hold on him. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. So to blame God for our lack of faith is nothing in the world but ignorance of his word. If we lack faith, we are the ones to blame, not God. And this is also true concerning faith for salvation. Faith for salvation also comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Paul said over in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter and the eighth verse, Ephesians 2 and 8, he said, for by grace are ye saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. Oh, hallelujah. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how are we going to get faith to get saved? If you'll write down Romans chapter 10, hallelujah, verses 8 through 10, 13 and 14. But what saith it? The word is nigh even in thy mouth, and in thy heart is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And with the churches being closed, a lot of them right now, and you're receiving a word online or by different methods, when you read the word, read it out loud so you can hear the word. So you can hear it and ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to you, to enlighten you what the Lord is saying. Don't read it so fast, trying to hurry up and get through. That's not going to stick with you. That's not going to be something that you're going to remember to hold on to and to be able to regurgitate it to the Lord when you need him to do something for you. He hears his word. He doesn't hear our whimpering. He doesn't hear our pity party, because he's given us his word, and we let us know that his word is what he will receive from us. And everything we could ever need or hope for is written in the word of God. And the Holy Spirit will just direct you to it. He will. I know, because I tried it for myself. And he's not a God that fails. He's not a God that lies. But he is a God full of grace and mercy. He is a God full of promises. Whatever he begins, he shall end. He shall bring it to fruition. It's when we operate in unbelief, listening to others saying, oh, no, that's not going to happen. And we let our faith go down. And God can't bring it. He's not going to go against our will to bring something to pass. It's our willingness to believe what he said, our willingness to obey him, our willingness to do whatever he tells us to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So then, men are saved by hearing God's word, because the scripture tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot believe and have faith. You can't without hearing the word. Over in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter, we read about Cornelius. And although he was a devout man, he wasn't a Jew. And he had not yet been saved. He had not heard the gospel being spoken yet. So then you might think, well, how could he have been saved? He wasn't. Cornelius was not saved until he heard Peter preach the word of God. When you have a desire, as Cornelius did, to want to know more about the Lord, to be a part of him, an angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius. We have angels all around us. And we need to pray for them, because they stay in battle for us from demonic spirits. I thank you so much for your divine protection. So this angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius over in Acts 10 and 3. And the angel who spoke to Cornelius, he couldn't preach the gospel. He couldn't preach the gospel to Cornelius, because angels cannot preach the gospel. God sent men to preach. Remember at the end of the scriptures, I think that was over Mark 16 and 15, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, the apostles, and he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. Now, the angel could tell Cornelius where to go to get someone who could preach the gospel to him. This is in Acts 11, 13. So then the angel instructed Cornelius to call for Peter. And now Peter, and now he told him, Cornelius, to send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Thank you, Lord. For he lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou ought to do. That's in Acts 10, verse 5 and 6. Now back to the Acts 11 and the 14th verse. It reports to us that the angel said that Peter would preach the gospel to Cornelius. Who shall tell thee words? For by thou and all thy house shall be saved. This verse also shows that men are saved. How? By hearing the word of the Lord. By hearing God's word. So then, back to Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. So you can't believe without hearing. So many people are trying to believe, but they're not hearing. They can be in church, and their mind, their thoughts can be everywhere but that. Or they shouted and sung so until they're so tired. When the word comes forth, they don't hear it. They hear it, but they don't hear it. Hallelujah. Been there long, long years ago. I mean, we had a time. And sometimes you say, well, what did the preacher preach about? Oh, child, I can't remember, but I know we had a time. But God wants us to hear. He wants us to hear. Tell him to cut those teeth. Thank you, Jesus. So how does faith come again? The same way. By hearing the word of God concerning healing. You can't get to a preacher. Read it out loud to yourself. Then you will not only be hearing it, but you will be reading it. You'll be seeing it. Write these scriptures down. Put them on the papers all over your house. So that you get to be in front of you. I have a paper on my front door. I'm expecting my miracle. I have it on my bedroom door. I'm expecting my miracle. In one of the bedrooms, I have up there the war room prayer. And I've got lists all the way down that door of people that needed our prayer. How do we do those things? And that we have to increase your faith anymore. Because as Joe prayed for his friends, God delivered him. And I so believe as we pray for others, whatever we're going through, our faith will touch the Lord and he will heal. He will deliver us. In Acts 14, starting at the 7th verse, it says, in their day, talking about Paul and Barnabas, preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, this is Paul. Stand upright on your feet. And the man leaped and walked. Now, you know, just the casual reading of God's word, they might say, oh, isn't it wonderful how Paul healed that man? I know, isn't it wonderful? Did you see how T.D. Jakes healed that man? He jumped up. But you see, it's not the individual. The man was healed, but not because Paul was an apostle. The man was not healed by Paul's faith, but the man was healed by the faith that he had. Hallelujah. We must have faith. I remember in February of 1980, I had to have an emergency surgery because all the organs in my body by adhesion had been pulled to my intestinal tract. So I had three doctors operating on me simultaneously. I didn't want the surgery. I wasn't signed for the surgery. And the doctors told me the pain I was in was so intense that my conscious mind receded and my self-conscious mind came to the forefront. And that is who signed the papers. But anyway, the reason I didn't, because God was healing people in our ministry, my mother and I. Their blind eyes were open, legs were limping. Oh, God, how could we come in and have surgery and we plan for the people? Even the mother had a heart attack, had to have bypass surgery on January the 1st of that same year. But it still, it just didn't register me that I could just go ahead and have that surgery. So God sent two angels to me a week after the surgery on a Sunday evening. I thought they were the best looking doctors I'd ever seen. Walking to my bed. And they told me, Rosa, God said, you cannot dictate to him how he's going to heal. He said, all he wants you to do is to give them the word. Don't teach them what somebody else has said. You teach them what's in the word. And when you pray, when your faith goes out for them, that's it. It's over. It's then between God and that person. That person's faith. You release your faith, but then your job is over. If they get healed, it's on them. If they don't believe and they can't receive, it's still on them. And this is what the Lord is telling us in this scripture. That's why he said that it was not Paul that healed the man, but it was Paul that discerned that this man had faith to believe that God could heal him by the word. See, he had listened to Paul preach. He had listened to him. That's why it's important when you go to church or when you listen to Kenneth Copeland or Jesse DePlante, any of these ministers, Hallelujah, Crystal Dollar, any of them, listen intently. Take down notes. If you're listening to me and Pastor, we're not going to bring you anything that is not in the Word. That's why I give you these scriptures. I want you to know what these scriptures are saying to us and to you. Let's notice what took place. Before this man was here, and it says, in their day, Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel. It's Acts 14, verse 7. So Paul did three things. First, he preached the gospel to the man. Second, he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. That's why it's so important for us to God to give us the discerning of spirit. If you have it, that's going to magnify it even the more. So you will know. Hallelujah. The third thing is that he told the man to rise up and walk. Now, the man did three things also. He heard Paul preach the gospel. He had faith to be healed. He obeyed Paul, and he leaped up and began to walk. You can see that sometimes. We see it in different ministries. Hallelujah, where a person couldn't walk, had been crippled for long years, and you wonder how, because their legs, they have to be kind of dissipated, how can they jump up and just by faith? There's no limit to what God can do. I know that for myself too, praise God. When I couldn't walk, but he taught me how to walk. He taught me how to talk where people can hear me. He taught me how to write, because when I was signing myself out of the hospital, it was like scrubber, scrubber, like little, oh God, it was like little children. And I looked at it, I said, oh my God, I can't write. So I just scribbled it. But God, through his grace and mercy, taught me how to do it again. He sent in my hands to do it again. He'll do the same thing for you. He is not a respected person. Now remember, Acts 14 and 9 says, the same man heard Paul do what? He heard Paul speak. And what did Paul speak? In verse 7, it says, and there they preached the gospel. Now, Jesus had told them to go into all the world, into Samaria, all these places, and preach the gospel. He didn't say preach me. He said preach the gospel. So we had to learn. Hallelujah. Was not only Jesus, not only God, but the Holy Spirit that he was sending back to take care of us, to lead us, to guide us, to heal us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there have been many ways that many people have gotten healed, even though in the midst of sickness, in the midst of the doctors saying they can't do anymore for you, and family always showing you pity. Oh, we don't know. We carry. You're not going to make it. But we're supposed to encourage them. My niece encouraged my heart so much when the doctors told her this week that she had 6 months to live. If she took chemo or if she didn't take it, the results would be the same for cancer in the lungs and another one in her shoulder. And she told the doctor, she said, well, you know, before I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going home and I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to live. Her doctor talked to me and she was so concerned. I mean, she was in tears. She said, she won't believe. But it's not that she don't believe you, but she believes God. She's believing the God that she's heard about from my mother, from me. Hallelujah. And it has stuck with her. And God has not only saved her, but he's baptized her with the gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues when that girl started praying and praying in tongues. Woo! Pastor, we really got on fire. And she said, she is believing him. She said, whatever my faith, F-A-T-E, is, it's in my God's hands. It's in God. She has a little altar in her apartment, and she plays some glorious music that lifts her up, and she reads the word. Well, she's all alone there in South Carolina. We want to bring it here so badly. But we believe it with her that she shall live and not die. But she said, if I do, I'm not afraid. But I believe God is going to heal me. Hallelujah. We must walk by faith and not doubt in our heart. But we've got to believe what the Lord, what his word tells us. Glory be to God. Healing part of the gospel. Paul preached the gospel of salvation. And that gospel that he was preaching of salvation also included healing. God don't want us to be sick and afflicted. The Bible simply calls it the gospel. But he means that all those stripes that Jesus took on his back, and that was healing for us. He didn't do it just to have it done or just for that time, but it was for all time. So then we must believe that what he suffered, bled, and died was for our salvation, for our healing, for our deliverance, for everything that we need. Who are we serving? We're serving Almighty El Shaddai. He's the God who is more than enough. And Jesus, he's our word. He gives us his word to open up in us, to draw us, to keep us, to protect us. Hallelujah. In Romans 1 and 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, who were the Gentiles." Now, there's a footnote in the Scofield Bible that says the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation, it implies ideas of deliverance, ideas of safety, ideas of preservation, healing, and soundness. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is what Paul is telling us. He was not ashamed. Oh, God. And we should not be ashamed. Because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So now we know that healing was a part of the gospel that was preached, because other scriptures also indicated as well. Other scriptures. Write down Acts, the 8th chapter, the 5th through the 8th verse. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the word of Christ, preached Christ, the gospel unto them. And the people with one accord, they gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. But unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with him, and many touts taken with palsies, and that were lame, they were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah, that Samaria, where the Jews weren't even supposed to go. They weren't even supposed to mingle with them. Now, if you notice in verse 7, when I talked about the unclean spirits crying out with loud voice, and those that were possessed with them, the seven, those healing miracles and deliverances all came about as a result of preaching Christ, preaching the gospel. The New Testament knows no Christ without Christ to heal. We see so many saying they are the Christ, they are the chosen one. They lie. don't believe it. Physical healing, divine healing, it's all a part of the gospel. If there is no gospel of healing today, then none of us have a gospel salvation, because they go together. The gospel of salvation, the gospel of healing, we are to preach them, because healing is included in the atonement. In Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, healing is a part of the atonement. Healing, you might say, is part and partial of the gospel. Oh, glory to God. I want you to write down James 5, verse 14 and 15. James writes, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. When our sins are forgiven us, by God's grace, we have salvation." And there are a lot of churches don't preach that. But God wants you to know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God tells us that Christ died also for our salvation. Thank you, Jesus. There are so many examples in the word of God, especially on the book of Acts and all the other scriptures that help us, that tell us, hallelujah, about how he heals, about how he delivers. Write down Mark 5:25, and I know we've heard a lot about this lady. The lady that had the issue of blood. Now Mark 5:25 tells us that there was a woman, a certain woman, who had an issue of blood for 12 years. The word tells us that she had spent all of her living and had gone to many physicians, but was no better. But then she heard about Jesus. Hearing can help build your faith. Hearing the word of God. Hearing what God is doing. Hearing what Jesus is doing. Mark 5:27, verse 28 and 34. Verse 27 says, "When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said," and she's already made up her mind because of what she's heard and what she's probably seen, what Jesus has done. "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole." Hallelujah. Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. So, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. He didn't say, "I might be made whole." Oh, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I hope I can be healed. I hope I can be saved. But no, she said, "If I, then I shall. Hallelujah. I shall be made whole. Now, woman was not allowed to be out amongst the crowd, especially if she had a blood disorder. So she said, it doesn't matter if they knock me down, if they push me down, if I can just but touch his clothes. That means she had to reach up to touch his garment. She crawled to him because of what faith had built up in her, because of what she had heard that Jesus had done, how he had healed blind Bartimaeus, how he had healed the man with the palsy that had sat by the pool of Bethesda for so many years and could never get in, about the man that had palsy, and they had to take him up and take the roof off of this man's building because there was no room for them to go inside, and Lord Jesus, him down to Jesus. And all Jesus told him was to take up your bed and walk. He told her, I'm going to go and sin no more. What can he do for me? I believe if I could just reach him, if I can just touch just the hem of his garment, he doesn't have to touch me. But you see, there's a song that says, touching Jesus is all that matters. Oh, when you touch him, you can be made whole for whatever that you're needing him to do for you. But we have to not listen to naysayers. We have to stop listening to people and say, you know, I had that, and this is what happened to me, and blah, blah, blah. You cut them off. Do not listen to them. If they don't have something positive to say to you, if they don't have words that would encourage you through the word of God, cut them off. Oh, I'm sorry, but I got to go. And thank you. Just keep on praying for me. And you get off that phone. If you're in their presence, tell them, well, you know, I'm thankful for what you said, but the God I serve, honey, he's brought me through so much that I know he's going to bring me through this. I know it's for me. It's for me. Hallelujah. Don't listen unless you're hearing the words of God. So where did this woman get faith to receive healing? She got faith when she heard of Jesus. Mark 5:27. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, when you are praying, a prayer of consecration, committing your life to the plan of God, then you can use the phrase, if it be thy will. But not when you're asking him for healing. Not when you're asking him, oh God, I need finances, I need my gas bill paid, I need my rent. If it be that will, please send it to me, Lord. Please let somebody bring it to me. Only when you are praying a prayer of consecration, committing your life to the plan of God, then you can use that phrase, if it be that will. Because you don't know for sure what the Lord's will is. You don't know exactly what he wants you to do or what his will is concerning this. But you know his will for you to be healed. You know that's already been stated. That's already, Jesus already suffered 39 times, 9 stripes on his back for that. So there's no question about that. But if you want to make sure that you're walking in the way God wants you to walk, if you're consecrating yourself according to his plan, then and only then can you ask him for his will to be done. Because if you use the word if, That's a word that means doubt. If it's going to rain, if it's going to happen, if I get the money, if, God will not listen to your if. He won't listen to my if. He won't listen to but. But if we are trying to have a change in the situation, use these scriptures. We have to get scriptures concerning faith. You look at the back of your Bible and you look up the word faith, and it gives you all the scriptures you need. And write some of them down. Learn them. Hallelujah. Because if you say if, or I hope I'm gonna be healed. When you a person standing before you, or you at their bedside, and you say you want me to pray for you, for God to hear you. Oh, I hope He's gonna hear me. Please pray. Already she said the wrong word. I hope He's going to hear me. That means hope is something that's distant in the future. Something that is to come. You want to be healed right now. So we got to have faith to believe and not put those if and hope and maybe and but. So-and-so said, forget about so-and-so. You, it's an individual walk with God. Write down Matthew 8:17, and my time is just about up. Hallelujah. The New Testament there said that Jesus, oh God, took our infirmities, bare our sicknesses. And if He did that, wouldn't it be God's will? Wouldn't it be His will for us to be healed, to be saved, to receive the financial needs that we have? Then He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Oh, glory to God. Let me give you two more scriptures. I'm not going to read them. I want you to read them because I want to pray for you as we close out. Matthew 8:17, talking about Him taking our infirmities. Peter 2:24. Peter 2:24. Isaiah 53:4-5. And next Saturday, we'll still be talking about how faith comes. Because there's more that we need to hold on to. Father, I lift your precious people up to you, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come against every foul spirit of infirmity that would dare to touch either one of their bodies. If there is pain anywhere, pain, I speak to you right now. Through the power and authority that God has invested in me. And I command you, in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, that you will loose that person, God. Therefore, I command you to be bound up and loosed into outer darkness and never return to them. For your assignment over them is void and null right now in Jesus' name. And they're going to stand on the word of God that by Jesus' stripes, they're already healed. Whether it's a physical healing, a spiritual healing, an emotional healing, or a financial healing, I ask God to release this into each one of us right now in Jesus' holy name. God bless you. Prophetess, I keep calling you apostle. Look out. Maybe God is taking you a step higher. Praise God. But I want you to close us out. And I want you to know that I love you all.
Thank can you hear me?
Tonight on the conference line. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we can hear you.
Father God, we really thank you so much for coming into our homes and our lives through apostle. Rosa and through Reverend Wanda and through each one who is listening and Lord are listening diligently, Father God. And we know that we are all, as the people say in the streets, we are all in cahoots together for you, Father God. And that's a good thing. And Father God, we are united in you. And a house divided against itself will not stand. So we are united in you. And we will stand, and we will stand on your word. We'll stand on your promises. And it'll last forever because your word is everlasting as you are Alpha and Omega. Ask that you would go with us, Father God, and that you would have us to confront that which is we are doing that is not of you, Father God, and that we will continue on your road to righteousness, and ask that you would watch between we and thee while we're absent, one from the other, in the name of Jesus, keeping us covered. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Wednesday night conference line at 6, still on. Be anxious for nothing. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hey, are we going to be on blog tomorrow, or are we going to be on the prayer line?
Conference line. Prayer line.
Pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city and named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jubal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play stringed instruments and pipes. Zillah also had a son, Tubal Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal Cain's sister was Naama. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain's avenged us 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Genesis 5.
Good evening, friends and neighbors and radio land. We are indeed happy to come in your homes, to run your cars, your place of business, or wherever you may be at this very present moment. We are convinced that we cannot allow evil speaking matters and anything that separate man from God keep us from knowing, because we know. And we want you to know that God is still on the throne. Not only that, but we want you also to know that God is moving. And this is the day of God's moving. When others have given up and became weary and discouraged on account of certain conditions, then there are multitudes of people in the valley of decision. We have fears without fears that when we would do good, evil is always present. In the midst of sickness and in the midst of disease, in the midst of stress and in the midst of strife, in the midst of the overpowering of drugs and alcohol and even violence, remains the same. And that fact is the fact that God is still moving. He's moving in me, and I hope and I trust that he is moving in you. I've been stirred on the inside that God is taking us through a process wherein we come to know him, our God, in a way we have never knew him before. For if we could climb into the mind of a psychotic being for the will of God for our lives, then we would no longer desire to kick against the bricks, but we will find ourselves in total submission to the will of God without fear. When we begin to talk about total submission to the will of God, the first reaction most folk have is a fearful one. That is because we see him as a powerful God. And if we are not acquainted with his character, then we will have difficulty in submitting to his will or releasing ourselves into his purpose. Going briefly into the Word of God, we will be going to Genesis 4, verses 6 through 12. I'm not going to read it because the reader has already read it, but I'm going straight to the Word. If I was to put a title on this message, the title of this message would be When the Blood Cries. When the blood cries. Please bow your heads for a word of prayer. Father God, it is in your name that we come to stand in John's shoes and preach your word. Father God, take my mind and think through it. Take my ears, let me hear only your voice. Take my mouth, speak through it. Take my eyes, let me only see what you would have me to see in order to that the word of God may be manifested both in our lives as well. When the blood cries, we must understand, my brothers and sisters, that we are in Genesis, the book of beginnings, if you will. If we just read it for the sake of reading it, all we're going to end up with history. But the Bible is not inclined to be a history book, but it is designed to explain, to capture God's plan for us. Are you listening to me? And if we view it in that way, then we begin to understand the law of first mention. God does not start with fabric and end up with fur. If God started with fabric, he's going to end with fabric. Here, God starts with blood, and he ends up with blood. For what God is doing is setting the roots and DNA for the foundation of your thought. Are you listening to me? We must understand, my brothers and sisters, that we are not looking at strangers to satisfy our curiosity, nor are we looking in the window of another family's life to try to figure out what's going on with our next door neighbor. Are you listening to me? We must understand and know that we should never read it just to capture information, but rather to understand, know that Satan never asked the question that God did not have the answer to. Are you listening to me? We must understand that we do not have a God that is waiting to react. He simply acts. For you see, if God was a person that reacts, then he would be a God that has lost control. And we know that God is always in control. He is God. He knows the end before that thing can begin. He sits high on the center of the universe. He has all power in his hand. To much of our attention today is spent on knowing how to have church. We know how to stand. We know how to raise our heads. We know how to shout. When the music stops, we know God? Too much energy is spent on knowing how to have church rather than knowing God. Knowing church will not help you fit in with the crowd, but knowing God will help you fit in with heaven. I would rather fit in with heaven than the crowd going to hell. If you can't say amen, just say out. We don't get in our cars on Sunday morning, find a parking spot into church just to get to know each other. Now, don't get me wrong. Knowing you is nice, but knowing God is redemption. Knowing God is life knowing. God is health knowing. God is wholeness. Knowing God is fullness knowing. God is peace. Knowing God is understanding. Whom I so reflect. Knowing God is knowing whom I am. So supposed to be image of knowing God is knowing God who is my Father. So the question is, God, how do I get to know you? And the answer is, study his word. Before there was a beginning or an end, there was God. Nobody voted him in, and no one can vote him out. He's God all by himself. Before thunder clapped, it said he was God. Water fell before water fell from waterfall, he was God. Be more, there was, before there was an East Coast or a West Coast or a North or a South, he was God. Are you listening to me? And my time is just about running out, so we will continue this next week. So tune in next week. We'd like to remind you that on Monday night, we have the Reverend Jesse Stewart at 7 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, we have Evangelist Leo Killens. Wednesday night, we have the Reverend Willie J. Band all the way from the north, the great state of Washington, D.C. On Thursday night, we have the Bishop George Mann at I believe that's 8 o'clock. And then right back here on Friday, you have yours truly, Minister Amos Joseph Collins. So please join in and catch the word, because the word is falling. No, let's see something to get into. I like that.